from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. We have two final guests for K-State Day. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, John Kurtz will join us in studio for the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little Chiefs, we'll talk a little K-State, but we tried to have someone in studio each of the last couple of days at 5 o'clock. Aaron Ladd, who's an MU grad, was on the show Tuesday. Brian Haney was on the show yesterday, and today John Kurtz will join us in studio for the 5 o'clock hour. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by, he might be the most knowledgeable person about Kansas State athletics in the entire world. Think about that. There is not a person that knows more about K-State athletics than our next guest. His name is Tim Fitzgerald. He is with GoPowerCat.com. Tim, always happy to have you join us on the show today. Let's start with this. We'll get to Avery Johnson. We'll get to the running back room. What do you view as K-State's biggest weakness heading into this season?
Oh, it's probably that offensive line. I think this is a really solid roster, but so much of what they can do on offense is reliant, of course, on an offensive line, and they're really having more replacements this year and replacing really good players than they have at any point, I think, during Chris Klieman's time. And they're going to need a couple guys to really step up, and if they provide the kind of protection that they need to, that this is going to be a really effective offense. But you can't have Avery Johnson running for his life and getting hit all the time either.
Maybe I'm off in this, and you obviously know this far better than me. It feels like Avery Johnson is one of the more anticipated prospects, certainly that I can remember. You know, highly recruited kid from the state of Kansas, had other options but chose to stay a Wildcat. It feels like there is a lot of hype and expectation for this prospect, greater than some of the ones I can remember in years past.
I think you're right. You know, a function of that is that social media is so much more prominent. I mean, I think Darren Sproles, people were pretty fired up for him, but nowhere at this level, because we got a little preview of Avery. We saw what he can do, and now people are really excited to see him unleashed, because he really wasn't unleashed last year. They were very careful with him. But yeah, I think you're right. I haven't seen fans a buzz like this about one player, a football player, in a very long time.
I'm looking at the quarterback situation, and you had a player in Will Howard who had all the experience to going from a player who doesn't have a whole lot of experience. Like, for example, I mean, Will Howard threw 779 passes in a K-State uniform. Avery Johnson has thrown 66. Does that worry you at all about this team, that you go from a guy who went through all the trials and tribulations at K-State to a guy who is just starting his journey?
No, it doesn't. I think everyone who's been around Avery and seen him operate, he's really mature. He's kind of level-headed. He's going to make mistakes, but I also think he's going to learn pretty quickly from those mistakes and try to adjust his game. And Will just decided he didn't want to fight Avery for the job, because honestly, I think he expected to lose because he was seeing it in practice like everyone else. So he moved on and landed very well at Ohio State. But it's quite interesting that early Heisman odds have two quarterbacks from K-State last year, and, you know, high up in the odds. So I think it's a real compliment to Avery, though, that everyone in that locker room expected him to be the starter this year.
Going back just a little bit, how do you think K-State fans are going to remember Will Howard's time in Manhattan?
Oh, he'll always be remembered for that title. I mean, he just played so well in 2022 and didn't quite get back to that level in 23 for whatever reason. And, you know, unfortunately lost his last game, which is not an ideal way for him to go out. But people will always remember him for that win in Arlington, TCU.
Right now we're talking to Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com. I think what would excite me most as a K-State fan about Avery is, I mean, if this thing works and he turns out to be the prospect that I imagine you and I both think that he can be, I mean, you might have one of the most dynamic players in college football. When you think about his ability to throw, with his ability to take off and run the football effectively, you might have one of the better weapons in college football in one or two seasons if this thing pans out.
Yeah, you're right. It's really interesting that he is so dynamic. And now you add in Dylan Edwards, who's not only another dynamic player out of the state of Kansas, but his best friend. And I think, you know, with the other tools like DJ Giddens and some of these receivers, Jace Brown certainly, who's another freshman from last year, a true freshman that kind of gets forgotten because of Avery, you've got some great young talent that is going to be really hard on defenses. If they get into the option read with those three guys in the backfield, it's going to be extremely difficult for defenses to figure out how to handle this.
Maybe this is just my read on it from the outside looking in, but now I feel like Dylan Edwards is finally in the right place. I understand wanting to go to Notre Dame. I also get the appeal of going to Colorado and everything that was circling around that program. It feels like this is where Dylan Edwards was supposed to be from day one. He is a Wildcat.
Yeah, and I think he agrees with that. I haven't talked to him directly about it, but you know, he committed to Notre Dame. It's my understanding that immediately some of the things he was told, you know, before his commitment didn't pan out the right way, and he was having to take a lot of classes to get into Notre Dame, which is a great academic school. And then Uncle Dion, you know, who coached him as a youth football player in Dallas, gets the job at Colorado, and we all understood why it went, because it was basically like family, but it really didn't feel that way, I don't think, to Dylan. You know, he told one of my guys that he just kind of doesn't do much in Boulder, and so him coming home seemed to be, there was no drama in that. We all knew where he was going to go.
That's how it should be. Like, you know, I don't know your stance on the transfer portal. Mine is, hey, I like it. I would maybe put a little bit of restrictions on the transfer portal. But, I mean, the portal exists for players like Dylan Edwards. Hey, I chose the wrong place. That was not in my best interest. Let me go to a school that is better suited for me.
Yeah, the portal's great. I mean, now that they're kind of narrowing the windows, it makes it a little more manageable. I mean, you just can't operate business with players just jumping into the portal in midseason, and it's just really difficult to manage a football program. I hope they don't tighten them up more. They've been talking about, you know, even restricting the days of the portal more. And let's let these kids do their thing with, you know, some reasonable restrictions. But yeah, I think you're right. I do get distressed by the players that are, you know, four colleges in 4 years, and I worry about, you know, how much schooling they actually got. Are they getting anything out of the college experience, or they're just playing basketball, and then they'll go work at the post office. You know, I just don't know.
Right now we're talking to Tim Fitzgerald for GoPowerCat.com here. Let's stick with the run game here. This run game is exciting to me. Like, I think K-State has multiple pros in the backfield. Giddens has a chance to be a pro at some point. Dylan Edwards, you think of the kind of prospect he was, and you saw flashes of it last year at Colorado. Their offensive line just didn't give you any chance to have success. This K-State run game, and you mentioned it with Avery Johnson's run ability, this could be one of the better rushing teams in college football this season.
Really could. And, you know, some variety there and how they go about it. It's not like DJ is just a big bruiser, but he's got a little more girth to him, and he's a little harder to bring down. He's got great field vision, man. If he gets into the middle of the defense, he just sees the openings. He almost feels them and just heads through them. And Dylan is just so explosive, and he's a running back, but he's also a slot receiver. You can use him in punt return, kick return. You can do so much with him. I think he's going to be really maximized. And I'm certain they're going to find ways to get all three of those guys in a backfield together, because, as I said, that just opens up so many things the defense has to worry about.
Usually K-State kind of has one of those guys in that wide receiver room. You know, you had Tyler Lockett, you had Jordy Nelson, you've had a couple of great receivers come through Manhattan. That guy doesn't jump off to me on the depth chart this year. How do you feel about that wide receiver room?
I think it's as solid as it has been since Klieman arrived. That's just been a position that hasn't been quite deep enough or talented enough, in my opinion, to compete at high levels. And I feel like they got the guys now. I mean, they've got, I mentioned Jace Brown, who I think is going to be a breakout star and with a full season now. But you still have Keegan Johnson, who's apparently healthy. You know, you got Dante Cephas that is really promising and a freak athlete. And another former freshman, or maybe he did preserve his redshirt, Trey Spivey, who they're raving about. So they've got some really nice options at receiver, and I think Garrett Oakley is going to pick up some of the slack left by Ben Sinnott going to the NFL.
Tim, we've talked about this the last couple of days. So we did MU Day on Tuesday, and this is obviously a very anticipated season for them. Expansion of the college football playoff, wins 11 games last year. We did KU Day yesterday. You know, there's a hype and a buzz around KU's program. I guess, where is fan hype? Where is fan expectation for this K-State team heading into the year? K-State was picked preseason number 2 this year, so there obviously is a lot of outside expectation for the Kansas State football program. What is the expectation inside the program?
I think everyone is pointing to Arlington on getting back there. I think the entire athletic department feels about it really good about its position as we transition into what I'm calling the new 12. I mean, this is a 16-school conference where half the schools joined within the last year. So it's going to be wide open. I think Utah is extremely good, but Carrington, you've been around the Big 12. Someone's going to pop up and just do things that we never expected. I kind of expected to be Iowa State, maybe. I think that K-State-Iowa State game at the end of the season in Ames could decide who goes down to Arlington. But yeah, with Jalen Daniels going, I'm telling you what, KU is going to be really scary good.
I was going to ask you this. Just from over the last couple of days, I know they have that game circled this year for obvious reasons. You know, the hope is, you know, have our quarterback healthy. It's in Manhattan. Hey, let's give ourselves a shot. This is the best KU team that they've had in 15 years. I'm wondering if that feeling is mutual. Does K-State, do fans, does the program have that game circled this year?
They always do. I mean, it hasn't just been the talent gap for why they won 15 in a row. And number 15 was a really good game, or, you know, that game went to the wire. And if you're a KU fan, I know that they feel like they should have won. And now they want to come to Manhattan and get it done, and that team's capable of it. So K-State's always valued this game more for whatever reason. I think it possibly is because, you know, half of K-State's roster is typically from Kansas, and that's not quite true at KU. But I think it's going to be an emotional, hard-fought game. It's going to be something else.
So looking at the K-State schedule, because you know this, I mean, a lot of college football obviously is the talent, it's the coaching, it's also the schedule and how it lines up. I think K-State has to love the schedule that they have. They have KU at home. They have Oklahoma State at home. They don't play Utah this year. You mentioned Arlington. That is a absolutely realistic goal given the schedule that they got this year.
Yeah, I agree. It's a weird schedule because if you look at it, there's like a two-month period in the middle of the season where they have two home games. I mean, it's just a really odd way the schedule broke out, and you know, because they finished with two out of three at home, and they only have four Big 12 games at home this year. So it's just a really strange schedule, and I feel bad for the fans because they're going to get games in the heat of Kansas and the cold of Kansas, and the prettier months in between, there's not much football in Manhattan.
So you would rank it this year, it sounds like, I guess in terms of games that are important. The home game against KU, it sounds like you would do at Iowa State. Are you maybe throwing at West Virginia, at Colorado in that conversation? Or is it the home game against Oklahoma State?
Yeah, it's Oklahoma State for me to join those other two, but you nailed it with West Virginia. They're just sneaky good, and I love their quarterback. And they've got both KU and K-State, I believe, going in there, so they've got to have those games circled as an opportunity to climb up the ladder in the Big 12.
The thing I appreciate most about K-State is the culture that they have built. Like in the NFL, you think about Pittsburgh Steelers and the defense and linebackers. Like you just know that they're always going to be a great defensive team. When I think of K-State, you think of discipline, well-coached, a certain level of run style, a certain level of physicality. Like, you've seen this thing built. How has K-State been able to do this exact same thing for 30 years, and it works every single season?
Well, a lot of it's the quarterback run game. And Bill Snyder's entire offense, whether it was he was running spread, basically, when he got here. And then he got Michael Bishop, and he pulled it in and started doing the quarterback run game. And kind of, there's a reason it's called the Wildcat, because it's what he designed. But the entire offense, whether there's five wide or empty backfield with just the quarterback in a power run formation, it's about putting your best athletes in one-on-one situations to try to get advantageous matchups that you can win. That's why the Tyler Locketts and Darren Sproles and Deuce Vaughns have thrived at K-State, even though they're a little bit undersized, because you put them in space and let them go, and they win those battles. So that's how K-State, when, you know, typically not as much raw talent on the field, if you look at recruiting rankings, that's how they keep winning. They really do a great job of emphasizing their strengths and hiding their weaknesses.
Last question, I'll get you out of here. Colin Klein has now decided to be the offensive coordinator for Texas A&M. How surprised are you that he left? I got a chance to talk to him, I believe it was last year, and you could just hear the passion in his voice. He obviously loves K-State. A lot of the success that they've had on offense you can attribute to Colin Klein. He is one of the hottest, you know, under 35 coaching candidates in college football. How big of a loss is it that Colin Klein's not going to be there? Are you surprised that he left?
I am surprised he left, because he does have obvious passion for K-State. But I think the business side of him, and maybe his agent had a role in this, he's in such a good spot. If he goes to A&M and the new coaching staff really thrives and he puts up big numbers, Carrington, he's going to be head coach. In all likelihood, someone in the SEC will hire him. And that's probably well ahead of schedule if he'd stayed in Manhattan. So I think for his career, it was a good move. For his heart, it probably wasn't. They had a great setup here with the family and a farm. But, you know, you sometimes have to make those sacrifices to get where you want to go as a coach. And I always have said he'll be a head coach at K-State, but now I actually kind of doubt it. I think he might end up in the SEC or Big Ten and never leave. So we'll see how it all plays out over the long run. But I feel great about the hiring of Matt Wells. He's extremely knowledgeable, more experienced, and gives Avery another quarterback coach to teach him things that maybe the other guys didn't give him.
You obviously know Colin Klein far better than I do. It just feels to me a lot like a Roy Williams situation, that whenever that call comes, I think it's going to be really difficult for Colin Klein to say no. We obviously have no clue what could happen. Maybe he's the head coach at Florida and he gets that phone call. But, you know, if something happens to Klein, or Klein decides to step down or leave or whatever happens, I think it's going to be really hard for Colin Klein to turn down Manhattan.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was for Brad Underwood. He He is in a great spot at Illinois, great money, great support, and a power, one of the two conferences that we know is going to survive. And yet, he went to the wire thinking about coming back. There's a pull to Kansas State in Manhattan. It's a great community, and the fans are just highly invested. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know how long Chris Klieman's going to go, but there's other potential head coaches on his staff right now. I mean, I can name three or four that I think could be a head coach.
We've been asking people this all week. You're the first person I've got a chance to ask this to from Manhattan. Whenever people come in from out of town, what restaurant do you tell them to go to?
Oh, Taco Lucha. And get there early and be ready to wait. I mean, it's by far my favorite restaurant. It also is attached to So Long Saloon, the burger place that was the original spot. But, yeah, Taco Lucha is just a cool vibe, great food. And it's not very big, but, boy, they turn over tables because their service is amazing. And, I've been outside in the little corral where you can drink beer and told 3 hours. And it was about two, but they had to flip the restaurant basically twice for us to get in. And they did it. It's an amazing place.
That is Tim Fitzgerald joining us on the show today. Tim, we got to have you on the show more this season. I mean, if this year goes the way that I think it could go for K-State, they could be one of the top 12 teams in college football and make the playoff.
Tell that Rob dude to call me, and let's get this set up.
We can do that.
He doesn't call me enough.
Tim, we can do that, man. I appreciate you.
Okay.
That is Tim Fitzgerald joining us on the show today. Let me tell you guys how Rob has been a hater these last couple of days. Now, maybe you disagree, but I think I showed KU a lot of love and respect yesterday. I do. I didn't troll you guys yesterday. I didn't throw any stones yesterday. I think I showed you guys a lot of love because it's KU day. I will have my time to get my KU jokes off if I need to. Yesterday wasn't the time. On Mizzou Day, Rob plays this unprompted, just out of nowhere.
Johnson takes it all the way. Tip. Overtime. How fitting in the 267th game between these two old rivals.
So Rob plays that unprompted for no reason. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything to provoke this. I'm minding my business. Then today we're getting ready for K-State Day. Right? We're getting ready for it. And Rob looks at me and is like, Avery Johnson's overrated. I'm like, we weren't even talking about that. We were talking about the movie Twisters is what we were talking about. It's out of nowhere. Rob, no, don't try to. Now, I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to fake work back there. You're trying to be fake busy behind the scenes. I know your tactics. You looked me in my face and said you thought that Avery Johnson was overrated. Now the floor is yours, my friend.
Here's the deal. Avery Johnson has a chance to be special. I acknowledge this. I said at the beginning of the show, and I feel this way. He might go down in K-State lore as L. Roberson, Michael Bishop level, maybe more. Is Colin Klein more K-State fans? I don't know, but he can be in that pantheon. He has all the ability to do that. But ever since the Pop-Tart Bowl, K-State fans have been talking like he's already ascended to that level. And in reality, he's not that level yet. He needs some coaching, needs some development, and he has a chance. But there is nothing we have seen on the field consistently that makes me think, oh, he's L. Roberson right now. K-State fans talk about the Pop-Tart Bowl, and they say Avery Johnson was incredible in that game. Avery Johnson was 14 of 31. In a college football game, he had a 45% completion percentage. 45%. That's bad. That North Carolina State's quarterback had a 51% completion percentage in the game, which is also bad, but it dwarfed Avery Johnson's. Avery Johnson could be good, but I think K-State fans talking like, well, he's so good. Will Howard had to leave the program. He had no chance to start. Look, that Pop-Tart Bowl shows he's a Heisman contender already. Can I see a little more before we anoint the kid? That's all I'm saying. So the hype and the production aren't even right now. Thus, you come to overrated.
Okay.
There's a lot to get into here. Text line 913-586-7610. I'm here to have this conversation. I will defend Avery Johnson. I will defend K-State. Rob, you and I both know how this works. Both of them were not going to be on the roster this past season. That is not how the transfer portal works. There can only be one quarterback. It's not like running back where you can have Giddens and you can have Dylan Edwards and the both of them can coexist. That is not how quarterback works. So, yes, maybe if you're K-State, you think Will Howard is the better quarterback and gives you the better chance of win for 2024. What do you do in 2025 if Avery Johnson is now the starting quarterback at the University of Miami? You are stuck. So you really didn't have a choice if you were K-State. There was only one possible option, and it was exactly what they did. Avery, you are our starter. Will, we're going to let you know early. This is not a competition. This is not a back and forth. We want you to hit the transfer portal and give yourself the best possible chance. I think that Will Howard was going to go to USC if their quarterback had played poorly in the bowl game. You remember, Caleb Williams opted out. They then got another kid. I think it's Moss. Brandon Moss might be his name. I'm trying to remember what his first name is. He then starts. He played really well in the bowl game, and then that crossed USC off the list. We obviously know the Ohio State job opened up. Will Howard took the Ohio State job. That's a better job than the one that he had. I think this thing worked out for all parties. I think it worked out for Kansas State. You didn't have to make a hard decision. I think it worked out for Avery Johnson. You obviously get to be the starting quarterback of the team. I also think it worked out for Will Howard. We can talk more about this on the other side. It's K-State Day, so let's have a K-State conversation about their quarterback. What you're worried about and what I'm worried about are two very different things when talking about Avery Johnson and this K-State team. We can talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, it's K-State Day on the show today. Tomorrow, we will be back to regularly scheduled programming. All right, let me give you a stat. I don't know if that's the correct term, but let me give it to you anyway. So Avery Johnson was the number one dual threat quarterback on Rivals in 2023. I am still a Rivals believer through and through. He was the number one dual threat quarterback on Rivals. Let me give you the last five who have been ranked number one. Connor Wegman, who is taking over at Texas A&M, so we'll see how good he is, but he is a Power 5 quarterback. We will find out this season how good he is. Caleb Williams, number one overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner. Bryce Young, I believe he's a Heisman winner, number one overall pick. Spencer Rattler, didn't pan out, but was a good college quarterback. The second dual threat quarterback was Jaden Daniels, who just won the Heisman Trophy. And in 2018, it was Justin Fields. If you are a K-State fan, it is understandable why you are so excited about the prospect that you have. You do not just have a regular quarterback prospect. You have an elite quarterback prospect. And I think we all know what that means. I think, Rob, you're being a little bit hard on Avery by mentioning the completion percentage. I think that is an NFL thing for sure. But you and I both like Will Howard a lot. And my like for him is much more off the field than on the field. Just he was great to us, great to the show. I want to see Will Howard have nothing but success. Do you know what Will Howard's career completion percentage was at K-State?
The fact you're asking these things is bad. So I'm going to say like 50, 55%?
58%. 58%. I love Will Howard. He is not a great college football quarterback. He has obvious limitations. Now, maybe we will find out that Avery also has those same limitations, but you did not have a choice if you were K-State. You had to have him be the starting quarterback for this team. Someone texted in on the show. C-Dot, I think if Will Howard balls out at Ohio State, it will bode poorly for K-State's coaching staff that they weren't able to bring out his potential. You're wrong. Respectfully, K-State, I'm here showing you love. It's K-State Day. I don't mean any shade by this. The talent that you have around the quarterback is different than the talent that Ohio State has. Will Howard goes into things at Ohio State. He is just operating at a much higher capacity than what you are operating at. I think that Ohio State is the second best program in college football behind Georgia. It's different. Respectfully, when you guys lost your offensive coordinator, you got Matt Wells. When Ohio State lost their offensive coordinator, they got Chip Kelly to be the offensive coordinator. The resources are not the same. So I would not look at if it works out really well for Will Howard at Ohio State that it is an indictment of how things went in K-State. I think that Kansas State got everything that you could possibly get out of Will Howard as a player. Everything that you can get out of him. I'll make a Missouri comparison. Brady Cook, last year, a major reason of why things worked out for Brady Cook. You gave him one of the five best running backs in college football, and you gave him the best wide receiver in college football. If you're going to give a limited quarterback, but certainly capable, those kind of weapons, you're going to be able to have success. Oh, yeah, they had two guys who were also drafted in the top 45 on defense last year at Missouri. You put Brady Cook in an ideal situation. Will Howard is going to a team that has maybe the best defense in college football, a top five running back in college football, and a wide receiver that is going to be a first-round pick. He's going to have success at Ohio State. Things are going to go well. So it's not even really about him. I think you had to make the decision with Avery just because of the ceiling and what you think he can be, and more so the position. It's not running back. It's not wide receiver. Kids ain't waiting around. It was never going to be a fair competition. I'm going to guess that the money that they are paying Avery Johnson is something ridiculous. I'm going to guess that by the time Avery Johnson leaves K-State, he will be a millionaire. If you are the Name, Image, and Likeness Collective and you are putting the money together to make sure that Avery Johnson does not leave the state of Kansas and goes to play football at K-State, it's time for him to play. I didn't need Coach Klieman to make that decision. We made that decision. We want the Kansas kid at quarterback, not the kid from Pennsylvania, not the kid who threw 24 touchdown passes last year in 12. We don't want him anymore. We want Avery Johnson to be the starting quarterback for this team. I think the K-State has a chance to be a really exciting team. I think they have one of the more mobile quarterbacks in college football with Avery Johnson. And then you look at, they have two, in my opinion, future pros at running back. Giddens has a chance to be a pro. Dylan Edwards has a chance to be a pro. We've seen in college football, if you got that kind of backfield and you know K-State's going to be disciplined, you know they're going to run it well, you know they're going to be physical up front. I think that gives them a framework of them winning eight games just off of how I think they're going to run the football effectively. I think that defense could be sneaky good. I think there's a chance that K-State has the best defense out of the three local schools. I look at K-State as being a team. Now, my questions for Avery are this. Will Howard threw 779 passes at K-State. Avery Johnson has thrown 66 passes. You go from having all the experience in the world to none of the experience. That experience is going to matter in road games. I know we're looking at the schedule and you're thinking on the road against BYU, on the road against Colorado, on the road against Iowa State. It is certainly not a gauntlet of road games. But we have watched enough college football, Rob, you and I, to know, hey, it's road conference games. None of those games are gimmies. At Colorado, I don't care what they did last season. That is not a gimme when you have a young, inexperienced quarterback. On the road against BYU is not a gimme on the road in college football. Certainly not on the road at Ames. People think that Iowa State is a sleeper in the Big 12. So my questions with Avery are much more about the experience part of it. And you're going to notice the lack of experience where you just haven't been through the fire. You don't have live bullets the way that Will Howard is. The guy that helped you win the Big 12 has played in and won big games. I think that's one of K-State's biggest problems, is just inexperience at that position, where Missouri has a lot of experience at quarterback. Jalen Daniels is a little bit different. He's been injured, but it's a guy who started 20 college football games. You do not have that if you were K-State at quarterback. That's going to matter.
I don't subscribe to the fact Avery can't be the guy because Will Howard left for Ohio State. I disagree with that notion. I actually think K-State ran into a good problem to run into: modern college football. I imagine if it was 10 years ago and there was the portal, you had to wait a year and name, image, and likeness wasn't a thing. If it was 2013, let's say the last time the college football video game was out before this year, do you know what I think K-State probably would have done? And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I think they probably would have redshirted Avery Johnson last year. And then this year, they would have eased him in kind of like they did last year, work him into the rotation, and then his sophomore season, it's go time, and Will Howard has aged out, and you had the veteran, and then you have the incumbent who's got a little experience, been in the system, boom, hits the ground running. But you know what? You can't do that in modern college football. You just can't. Redshirting elite prospects ends in kids entering the portal, ends in kids being courted by other schools. It ends in all sorts of, problems. I forget the name of the kid. He went to UCLA last year. He's one of the top recruits in the country. Dante Moore.
Yep.
Dante Moore redshirted last year at UCLA. Chip Kelly was like, just wait. You know where Dante Moore is now? Oregon. Because you don't sit and wait when you're an elite prospect. I think K-State got caught with, it's a good problem, but it's a new problem in college football. You can't really wait on these kids. So they have to accelerate the development. And I think that's where we are. His inexperience may show, but there are going to be times where his pure raw talent also show. That's why I think K-State's the most fascinating team, because they have the least experience at the most important position, but they might have the most talent at the most important position.
I would say, and I know we're up against it, the transfer portal was sort of made for this year's K-State team. Let me explain. At quarterback, you were not having Will Howard and Avery Johnson on the roster. That is not how college football works. They are two starters in college football, and there can only be one of them. One of them was going to leave. Whoever lost the job eventually was going to leave. So either they were going to leave before the bowl game or after the bowl game. But you were not keeping both of them on your roster where Avery sits back and waits and burns a year of eligibility to let Will Howard get his final year at K-State. That's not how it's going to work. The other player I would say that the transfer portal worked for was their running back, Dylan Edwards. I get why Dylan Edwards made the decision that he made. He originally committed to Notre Dame. It's one of the elite programs in college football. He gets a call from Deion Sanders. They got a close personal relationship. He goes to play for Colorado. It did not work last year at Colorado. I think he's extremely talented. I think we saw that in their first game against TCU. I think Dylan Edwards can play. For whatever reason, behind the scenes, it did not work out at Colorado. In years past, Dylan Edwards would have had to stay there. I don't want to be here. I don't want to sit out a year. I guess I'll tough through it. No. Dylan Edwards is a Wildcat. He should have gone there from the very beginning. And the transfer portal allows you to make a decision and go back and, hey, I made the wrong decision. Now, I'm a big believer. I don't think you should give kids five, six, seven times to transfer, but I have been a big believer of this from the beginning. They should give you one free transfer for whatever it is. If you're Will Howard and you realize that Avery Johnson is coming, you should be able to transfer to Ohio State if that's what you want to do. If you were Dylan Edwards and for whatever reason it doesn't work in Colorado, you should have the opportunity to do exactly what he did. That is the positives to me of the transfer portal. I also think just from a college football fan perspective, it has given college football a measure of free agency that is just really fun to track. Hey, instead of waiting 2-3 years for this safety to, you can just go in the portal and just go get him. Hey, you lost your left tackle, Missouri. It's okay. We'll just go get one. Hey, Oklahoma, we want your left tackle. We'll go get him. It has made college football a lot more fun, a lot more enjoyable. I know coaches hate some of the changes, but name, image, and likeness has made college football more enjoyable, and the transfer portal has made college football more enjoyable. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
There's two things I want to talk about before John Kurtz comes in here. None of them are related to K-State. We'll get back to K-State coming up at the top of the hour. And maybe one of the things might be related to K-State now in hindsight. I apologize. The first thing. I remember telling you guys on this show that College Football 25 was the most excited I've been about a video game since I was in college and Halo 3 came out. For those of you that are around my age, you remember those early Halo days. Boy, they were special. I was really excited about this game. I spent the $100 for the deluxe edition so we could play her early. I'm here to tell you guys that I maybe came to the conclusion that I'm cooked. I'm washed. Rob has been smoking me in the game the last 3 days. Just not close, not competitive, just no chance to win. Aaron Ladd came up here. Hey, we should play the game. Yeah, sure, let's play the game. Got two beatdowns from Aaron Ladd. I'm a one-star recruit in this game. I'm 1-6. It's just so disappointing, you know? It's disappointing. It's not the game. It's me. Have you ever, you just saw a young lady, or maybe it was a young man, and you wanted to be with that person. And then you finally got the opportunity, and you realize it's not what you thought it was going to be. I had dreams. I used to be good at these games. You know, hey, pull up on the sticks. Back in Missouri Southern, Blaine Hall 209 on campus. I was legendary. They knew. Now, Rob is beating me with MAC schools. Rob beat me with Northern Illinois today. I'm washed. I'm cooked. I'm cooked food. I had to tell somebody that. It really hurts me. You know you start losing when you start watching the instant replay and you start screaming at the logic of the game. That's what I'm doing. I'm spiraling right now. I'm washed. I'm terrible at the game. Rob's trying to coach me through it. He's laughing at me while he's beating me. It's bad. I can't do anything. I can't run the ball. I can't pass. I can't stop the run. I'm a loser is what I am. That's what I am. I am a loser. I just want to be better, man. I paid all that money for the game. Rob, I want to be better. I don't know how to be better. I'm trash. That's what I'm here to tell you. I am trash. This is me.
Vernon, just it was something that I told everybody at the very beginning of the week. I will not tolerate players that think it's about them when it's about the team. And we cannot make decisions that cost the team.
This is my team.
And then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant.
Guys aren't playing with passion.
Yeah. You know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school.
Yeah,
I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people.
I'm basically not playing with a quarterback.
And just get penalized all the way.
I'm doing that too.
Until we got to do something else. Rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team.
None of them are.
It is more about them than it is about the team.
Selfishness.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
I can't do it. You hear it. You can't do it. I was playing Rob earlier today. I scored a touchdown. I had a legal man downfield. It took a touchdown off the board. I then missed the field goal. That's how I lost. I'm beside myself. I'm terrible. I can't even trade the game in. I got it digitally. I can't even take it back. It's been an embarrassment to my family. My mom ain't even returning my calls. She heard I was trash at the game.
You know it's bad when you're asking questions like, how is that happening? How did you do that? Why are you doing that?
It's bad, man. I've been getting thumped, text line. I've been getting thumped. Maybe you don't care. I had to talk through it with somebody. I can't tell Rob. Rob knows I've been getting thumped. He's been the one doing the thumping.
Yesterday was bad. Yesterday was like, you know what? I'm going to get back on track with Mizzou. Oh, that was not back on track.
No, it was not on track. It was off. It was very much off track is what it was. It was the definition of off track. You know what? Let's move on. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's move on. I do want to play one cut. And this is where you know what? Some of y'all on the text line hating on me. It's time for me to hate on y'all. Let's stop this tight end number two nonsense because I feel you guys starting it up.
But I think he already had better receiving skills than Noah Gray did when Noah Gray was a rookie, and I thought Noah Gray was really good for this offense because he was such a versatile player who was a willing and capable blocker. That's the one thing you're going to want to ask from Jared Wiley in training camp. Look, man, I know you're a really good receiver, like above average receiving ability for tight end entering the league. Now it's just about how are you on blocking, how are you at, you know, protection in the passing game if need be because of what Blake Bell brought all these previous years ago. But look, I mean, if he's a better version than of Jordy Fortson, then the offense will clearly find a role for him and he can win one-on-one matchups. I'll never forget a couple years ago when the Chiefs played the Buccaneers and they lined Jordy Fortson up basically at wide receiver with Travis Kelce on the other side of the field in a one-on-one. And I sent a press box. Oh, that's a slant and a touchdown. And guess what happened, kids? It's a slant and a touchdown.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is Jared Wiley is a better version already than Jordy Fortson was basically at the prime of his career, given how much the Chiefs invested in Jordy Fortson's development. So it's really just how does he look in pass? Can he block well? Can he be reliable in the blocking game so that he's not necessarily predictable when he's on the field, of course, for the opposing defense? If all those things happen, Jared Wiley's got the athleticism to make it in this league.
Everything Nate Taylor is saying could be true. I'm not saying that it's not true. I'm not saying that it is true. Do you guys, for those of you that are old enough, you might remember this. Rob, I think you remember this. For like a 15-year stretch, Chiefs fans were super worried about inside linebacker, especially opposite Derrick Johnson. Like that was like a thing every year. Oh, hey, we finally got this position answered. The Chiefs have the best tight end in the National Football League, and I swear, for 10 years, we have been worried about who the other tight end is on the team. It blows my mind. It's baffling to me. Don't we know how this season goes for Jared Wiley? I'm not saying that he's going to be a bad pro or anything. Travis Kelce's still on the team. They're still going to throw it to him a lot, right? Like he's going to get 110 targets. How many targets do we think Jared Wiley gets? This is where we do that thing we do every year. I know what we're about to do with Jared Wiley. This is where we have Patrick Mahomes throw for 9,000 yards and 100 touchdowns because everybody's going to have 700 yards receiving this year. I know this is what we're doing. Why are we doing this? Why? Yes, text line. I'm hating. Y'all was hating on me. I'm reading the text. I'm hating on Jared Wiley. I'm transferring that energy. Hurt people, hurt people. We do this every year. You guys have done this for 9 straight ones. Do you have a homeboy that goes on a date with a girl? And he's like, man, she's the one. Bro, you said that about the last 3 girls you've been with. I don't believe you anymore. You guys have got excited about the last 5 tight ends opposite of Travis Kelce. The last 5. Remember when we had Jason Dunn on the show and he told us that Jody Fortson was going to have 9 touchdowns? And I was like, no. And I was getting cooked on Twitter for a day. Why are we doing this again? Why are we doing this? We're doing the same thing all over again with Jared Wiley. Again, I'm not saying he's going to be bad. He's a rookie. We never seen him before. But explain to me how Isaiah Pacheco is going to run for 1,200 yards. Kelsey's going to have 1,000 yards. Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown. And now they're tight end twos eating two? No, he's not eating yet. Whenever Travis Kelce decides to be a permanent roadie for the Taylor Swift tour, then I'm willing to talk to you about Jared Wiley. We also think Noah Gray's going to be involved in the offense. I like Noah Gray. We've been saying get Noah Gray more involved. They throw to him 2 times a game. So, yeah, text line, I see. I'm hating. Y'all was making fun of me for the last 5 minutes talking about college football. I'm hating on somebody else. Do something about it. All right. Let's all get back together. Let's get on the same page. Now, I apologize. We all should be friends. I care about you guys. Hopefully, you care about me. Coming up on the other side, we end our college football previews. John Kurtz is going to join us in studio. He is our K-State guy. Keep it right here. It's a drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
There's two things I want to talk about before John Kurtz comes in here. None of them are related to K-State. We'll get back to K-State coming up at the top of the hour. Maybe one of the things might be related to K-State now in hindsight. I apologize. The first thing. I remember telling you guys on this show that College Football 25 was the most excited I've been about a video game since I was in college and Halo 3 came out. For those of you that are around my age, you remember those early Halo days. Boy, they were special. I was really excited about this game. I spent the $100 for the deluxe edition so we could play her early. I'm here to tell you guys that I maybe came to the conclusion that I'm cooked. I'm washed. Rob has been smoking me in the game the last 3 days. Just not close, not competitive, just no chance to win. Aaron Ladd came up here. Hey, we should play the game. Yeah, sure, let's play the game. Got two beatdowns from Aaron Ladd. I'm a one-star recruit in this game. I'm 1-6. It's just so disappointing, you know? It's disappointing. It's not the game, it's me. Have you ever, you just saw a young lady, or maybe it was a young man, and you wanted to be with that person. And then you finally got the opportunity, and you realize it's not what you thought it was going to be. I had dreams. I used to be good at these games. You know, hey, pull up on the sticks. Back in Missouri Southern, Blaine Hall, 209 on campus. I was legendary. They knew. Now, Rob is beating me with MAC schools. Rob beat me with Northern Illinois today. I'm washed. I'm cooked. I'm cooked food. I had to tell somebody that. It really hurts me. You know you start losing when you start watching the instant replay and you start screaming at the logic of the game. That's what I'm doing. I'm spiraling right now. I'm washed. I'm terrible at the game. Rob's trying to coach me through it. He's laughing at me while he's beating me. It's bad. I can't do anything. I can't run the ball. I can't pass. I can't stop the run. I'm a loser is what I am. That's what I am. I am a loser. I just want to be better, man. I paid all that money for the game. Rob, I want to be better. I don't know how to be better. I'm trash. That's what I'm here to tell you. I am trash. This is me.
Vernon, just it was something that I told everybody at the very beginning of the week. I will not tolerate players that think it's about them when it's about the team. And we cannot make decisions that cost the team.
This is my team.
And then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant.
Guys aren't playing with passion.
You know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people.
I'm basically not playing with a quarterback.
And just get penalized all the way.
I'm doing that too.
Until we got to do something else. Rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team.
None of them are.
It is more about them than it is about the team.
Selfishness.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
I can't do it. You hear it. You can't do it. I was playing Rob earlier today. I scored a touchdown. I had a legal man downfield. It took a touchdown off the board. I then missed the field goal. That's how I lost. I'm beside myself. I'm terrible. I can't even trade the game in. I got it digitally. I can't even take it back. It's been an embarrassment to my family. My mom ain't even returning my calls. She heard I was trash at the game.
You know it's bad when you're asking questions like, how is that happening? How did you do that? Why are you doing that?
It's bad, man. I've been getting thumped, text line. I've been getting thumped. Maybe you don't care. I had to talk through it with somebody. I can't tell Rob. Rob knows I've been getting thumped. He's been the one doing the thumping.
Yesterday was bad. Yesterday was like, you know what? I'm going to get back on track with Mizzou. Oh, that was not back on track.
No, it was not on track. It was very much off track is what it was. It was the definition of off track. You know what? Let's move on. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's move on. I do want to play one cut. And this is where you know what? Some of y'all on the text line hating on me. It's time for me to hate on y'all. Let's stop this tight end number two nonsense because I feel you guys starting it up.
But I think you already have better receiving skills than Noah Gray did when Noah Gray was a rookie. And I thought Noah Gray was really good for this offense because he was such a versatile player who was a willing and capable blocker. That's the one thing you're going to want to ask from Jared Wiley in training camp. Look, man, I know you're a really good receiver, like above average receiving ability for tight end entering the league. Now it's just about how are you on blocking, how are you at, you know, protection in the passing game if need be because of what Blake Belper bought all these previous years ago. But look, I mean, if he's a better version than of Jordy Fortson, then the offense will clearly find a role for him and he can win one-on-one matchups. I'll never forget a couple years ago when the Chiefs played the Buccaneers and they lined Jordy Fortson up basically at wide receiver with Travis Kelce on the other side of the field in a one-on-one. And I sent a press box. Oh, that's a slant and a touchdown. And guess what happened, kids? It's a slant and a touchdown.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is Jared Wiley is a better version already than Jordy Fortson was basically at the prime of his career, given how much the Chiefs invested in Jordy Fortson's development. So it's really just how does he look in pass? Can he block well? Can he be reliable in the blocking game so that he's not necessarily predictable when he's on the field, of course, for the opposing defense? If all those things happen, Jared Wiley's got the athleticism to make it in this league.
Everything Nate Taylor is saying could be true. I'm not saying that it's not true. I'm not saying that it is true. Do you guys, for those of you that are old enough, you might remember this. Rob, I think you remember this. For like a 15-year stretch, Chiefs fans were super worried about inside linebacker, especially opposite Derrick Johnson. Like, that was like a thing every year. Oh, hey, we finally got this position answered. The Chiefs have the best tight end in the National Football League, and I swear, for 10 years, we have been worried about who the other tight end is on the team. It blows my mind. It's baffling to me. Don't we know how this season goes for Jared Wiley? I'm not saying that he's going to be a bad pro or anything. Travis Kelce's still on the team. They're still going to throw it to him a lot, right? Like, he's going to get 110 targets. How many targets do we think Jared Wiley gets? This is where we do that thing we do every year. I know what we're about to do with Jared Wiley. This is where we have Patrick Mahomes throw for 9,000 yards and 100 touchdowns because everybody's going to have 700 yards receiving this year. I know this is what we're doing. Why are we doing this? Why? Yes, text line. I'm hating. Y'all was hating on me. I'm reading the text. I'm hating on Jared Wiley. I'm transferring that energy. Hurt people, hurt people. We do this every year. You guys have done this for 9 straight ones. Do you have a homeboy that goes on a date with a girl? And he's like, man, she's the one. Bro, you said that about the last 3 girls you've been with. I don't believe you anymore. You guys have got excited about the last 5 tight ends opposite of Travis Kelce. The last 5. Remember when we had Jason Dunn on the show and he told us that Jordy Fortson was going to have 9 touchdowns, and I was like, no, and I was getting cooked on Twitter for a day. Why are we doing this again? Why are we doing this? We're doing the same thing all over again with Jared Wiley. Again, I'm not saying he's going to be bad. He's a rookie. We've never seen him before. But explain to me how Isaiah Pacheco is going to run for 1,200 yards, Kelsey's going to have 1,000 yards, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, and now they're tight end twos, eating two? No, he's not eating yet. Whenever Travis Kelce decides to be a permanent roadie for the Taylor Swift tour, then I'm willing to talk to you about Jared Wiley. We also think Noah Gray's going to be involved in the offense. I like Noah Gray. We've been saying get Noah Gray more involved. They throw to him 2 times a game. So yeah, text line, I see. I'm hating. Y'all was making fun of me for the last 5 minutes talking about college football. I'm hating on somebody else. Do something about it. All right. Let's all get back together. Let's get on the same page. Now, I apologize. We all should be friends. I care about you guys. Hopefully, you care about me. Coming up on the other side, we end our college football previews. John Kurtz is going to join us in studio. He is our K-State guy. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.